Romans chapter 1, and as we turn there, if I could get three or four of the young people to come, I got a job for you. Some of you youngsters, come up here. Let me give you a job. Those willing and able young men here, pass these cups out. If I could get them out of the package, it would help. Pass them out. Make sure everybody gets one. We may have a few extras. If we have some extras, just keep them where you're at. Oops, sorry. Brother Chris has a willing teammate here this morning. He even pinched it for him in the offertory, so... You get that cup, hang on to it, we're going to get to it in here in a minute. A cup for each of you. And we'll begin this morning in Romans chapter 1. I'll give you a few minutes to get there. Everybody have one? Raise your hand if you don't have one. There you go. If you got extras, boys, just keep them with you. We'll pick them up after service. All right. As we begin this morning, let's go to the Lord once again in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day you've given us, Lord. We thank you for life itself. And in this life, Lord, the privilege, the honor, the blessing of being your child, of being able to come together as one of your churches with your word before us and your presence promised to us. And we beg for that presence this morning. And we beg, Lord, for such a mindset, Lord, such an intention about us that we long to see you, to see the glory of your Son, that we long, Lord, to give you praise and honor, glory, and thanksgiving. Help us, Lord. Put our minds, our hearts upon you. Lord, help us to love you as we ought to. Be with us now as we look in your word, Lord, by the power of your Spirit. Instruct us. Instruct us personally, Father, we ask. Deal with us personally. Forgive us for our sins and our failings and instruct us in the way of righteousness that is for your name's sake, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. We are continuing our series. I told you last week that we're going to be drawing to the end of the series. I'm trying to find a place to stop it. It's been such a blessing to me, and the more I can continue to think about it, the more messages that come, so we'll continue until we find a place to stop. And then, Lord willing, I'm looking forward to, we've been having a lot of focus on us, and I don't want us to be too self-centered. I want us to put focus where focus needs to be, and that is upon Christ. So we will move and put more focus, see the focus of Him that is in God's Word in the future, Lord willing. But these messages are profitable for us. They're needful for us. We need to understand that the gospel is not just a message for the lost. It's a message for you. And it's a message for me. So we will continue this once again this morning. In Romans 1, I want us to begin at verse 18. And we're just going to read a few verses here. This will be where we begin. In Romans 1 and verse 18, a really startling declaration here. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold," notice that word, "who hold the truth in unrighteousness." That word "hold" means suppress or hold it down. Hold it down. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest," notice what it says, "in them, among them. For God hath shewed it unto them." God hath declared it unto them. "For the invisible things of Him," of God, "from the creation of the world are clearly seen." The things of God, though they are invisible, because He is invisible, they are clearly seen from the creation, the things of the creation of the world, "being understood by the things that are made, the things that God made. And this is what is understood as we look at the things that God has made, even His eternal power, God's eternal power, and His Godhead, the three persons of the Godhead, so that they that suppress, hold down His truth, they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And then skip to verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, a useless mind, to do those things which are not convenient. Now we should all understand this morning that thankfulness, giving God thanks, being full of thanks, our minds being full of thanks towards God, it is a righteous act. We want to talk about righteousness. It is righteousness to be thankful towards God, to have a mind and a heart that is thankful towards God. It is righteous. It is right. It is right. We just read that the condemnation that will come upon all unbelievers is founded in the fact, that they suppress, they hold down the truth of God, though it is declared to them all around them by God Himself. Do you know that what we just read says that everyone knows the truth about God? That's what it says. But there are some that hold it down. There are some that suppress it. The atheist, the self-proclaimed atheist, he knows the truth about God, but he holds it down. He suppresses it. He wants to put it under his foot. He don't want to think about it. I want things my way. But he knows it. It's declared to him. God Himself has declared it to him. But he holds it down. And when they do this, when they hold it down, they glorify God not as God. They do not glorify God as God. And in such a state of mind, the Scripture says, they are unthankful. Unthankful. You've heard me say, and this text confirms it, there are multitudes of unbelievers today who are living and benefiting greatly by God's common mercies and by God's common graces, but in their end, all of His graces and all of His mercies and all of His blessings upon them will multiply to their cursing and to their judgment. As God blesses the multitude of unbelievers today, as He pours His rain out upon them, just as He does the just, even that will be to their cursing. Even that will add to their judgment. All the good things that they or we might possess, if you're an unbeliever today, all the good things that you possess will add and multiply to your judgment because you were not thankful. You did not acknowledge God and be thankful, give thanks unto Him. All of it will add and multiply to your judgment because you were not thankful to the God who in His grace and in His mercy has given you all things. Oh, that they and we would hear and obey the righteous commands of our Lord and our God, the one from whom all good gifts come, the Father of mercies and the God of all grace, Scripture calls Him. Listen, might we hear it? Might we obey this command out of the 100th Psalm in verse 4? Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Be thankful unto our God and bless His name. All throughout this series, I have reminded us that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. And believers, it is. It is because the gospel has saved us. It is saving us. It will save us from this great unthinkable crime. It is an unthinkable crime to be blessed like you and I are blessed and not to be thankful to our God who has given us every blessing that we have. That is unthinkable to breathe God's air and not be thankful to Him. To experience, especially us, brothers and sisters, in this time and in this place that we live and we have been blessed with, to be unthankful, that is unthinkable because we are so blessed. The title of this message is, because of the gospel, we are two words, thankful, F-U-L-L. Because of the gospel, our hearts, our minds, our lives are full of thanks towards God because of the gospel. Now, you like me might be saying, well, I'm not always thankful. I wasn't too thankful this morning. Hadn't been too thankful here in the last few minutes. We're not experiencing the gospel like it's meant to be experienced. It's not in our mind like it ought to be in our mind then. You see, that's the problem. That's why we need the gospel. That's why we need it every day. That's why we need it every moment. That's why we need it every minute. It needs to be a part of our heart. It needs to become an integral part of our life so that we might think right, so that we might have the right mind before God and not engage in this unthinkable crime of being unthankful to our God. Quickly, let me give you some facts concerning thankfulness. Number one, if we truly know the gospel, if our mind has and is experiencing the power of the gospel, we are and will be growing in thankfulness. Is thankfulness your state of mind? It should be. If you have and if you are experiencing the gospel as it is to be experienced, the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation, salvation from this description of these in Romans 1 who suppress the truth and are unthankful in their mind. Salvation from that. If you have experienced the gospel, really, you are growing in thankfulness. Number two, thankfulness. Here's why. Thankfulness is intrinsic to God's salvation. It is part of it. As a matter of fact, God has saved us from unthankfulness. And how has He done that? He's given us thankfulness. That's how He saves us from unthankfulness. He gives us thankfulness. And just in case we don't know what it is to be thankful, what true biblical thanksgiving is, what true biblical thankfulness is, the word, the definition of the word of thanksgiving and of thanks, it is being mindful and grateful to God for His well-done favors. For His well-done favors. God is good, isn't He? Yes, He is. For His well-done favors in and upon our lives and even upon the lives of others. That's actually what the word means. To be mindful, to be thankful to God for His well-done favors in our lives. Third, and this is something, God gives us grace to be thankful. It is a gift of God. He, in the gift of His grace, He saves us from this unthankful, ungodly mind. God gives us grace to be thankful. We are in such a shape, aren't we? To be blessed as we are blessed, and you know and I know, and still be unthankful. We are in such a shape. But God gives us grace for thankfulness. For thankfulness is primary in God's will for our lives. Now, I know we might search and search, and I hear a lot of people say, well, I just want to do God's will. I just want to know God's will. God tells us His will. He tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What's the will of God for you? What is God's will for you, each of you? Give thanks in everything. Give thanks in everything. It's primary in God's will for our lives. Colossians 2:7 says, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Number five, listen. One of the very reasons that the Lord Jesus Christ sits in session at the right hand of God the Father right now, this moment. It is to usher our thankfulness unto the Lord. One of the very reasons that Christ is there is so that your thankfulness will be taken unto the God of heaven and earth. Listen to Hebrews 13 and verse 15. It says, by Him, by Christ the High Priest, the great High Priest, is the context. It says, therefore, let us offer by Him the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. One of the reasons that Christ sits at the right hand of God this moment is to usher your thankfulness unto the Lord. Is He having to work very hard for you? That's why He's there. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Unto God. Number 6, thankfulness will be primary in our minds in eternity. Thankfulness will be. Here we are in eternity in Revelation 7 and verse 12. It says, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. This is perfect praise overflowing with thanksgiving from us, brothers and sisters, from us, church, in eternity. In Revelation 11:17, it says, saying, we give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power and hast reigned. So, saints, church, because of the gospel, we are thankful because God has saved us from unthankfulness and has saved us to thankfulness. If you are saved by the grace of God, He has saved you to thankfulness. He has saved you to be thankful. He has delivered you from the mind that suppresses the truth and suppresses the knowledge of God. He's delivered you from that. He's delivered you from that which would become, in which you would be given over to a reprobate mind. He's delivered you from that and has given you thankfulness so that you would be thankful before Him instead. We are full of thanks because God has saved us to thankfulness. It is intrinsic. It is a part of God's salvation. It's a part of it. But also, secondly, saints, not only have we been saved to be full of thanks, but we are thankful because we are saved. We are thankful because we are saved. Are you thankful? I mean, really. Are you not just thankful to the air? Are you thankful to God, the Lord God Almighty, the God of this Bible, because He has saved your soul? Are you thankful? Now that cup. Grab hold of that cup. Somebody give me one. Who's got an extra? You got an extra? Your cup. Everybody got one, right? Hang on to it. What's in your cup? Look real close. What's in your cup? Check it out. There's nothing in your cup. Are you sure? Look real close. Are you absolutely sure there's not a drop of anything in your cup? Not a drop? Glory to God. There is not a drop of anything in your cup. If you could understand something about this cup, and understand that it's empty, you ought to give thanks unto God with all your being and all your mind and all your life that there's not a drop of anything in your cup. You ought to be so thankful. How infinitely thankful and joyful we should be that our cup is empty. Because, do you know, sinner? Do you know what your cup should be full of? Listen to what your cup should be full of, every single one of us. This is what our cup should be full of. Listen, In Psalm 75 and verse 8, it says, "For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red, and it is full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same, but the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them." Now listen, talking about the cup. In the hand of the Lord there is a cup. Revelation 14:10. "The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation," his anger, his fury. "And he," those that will drink of that cup of anger and indignation, "he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have rest, no rest, day nor night." That's the cup. The cup of God's wrath. That's the cup that all of us deserve. That I deserve, that you deserve. We too, like all these unbelievers that we read about here in Romans 1, we too have had our part in sin and unbelief, have we not? We too have had our part in rebellion and death and separation. We too have had our part in blasphemy and being unthankful to the very God who gives us breath and life. Have we not had our part in that? We have. We deserve God's wrath as much, and I'll argue as more, as the children of God who still sin against their God. We deserve it more than anyone else. The child of God, look in the cup. The cup is empty. It's empty. Our cup ought to be overflowing and running over with God's wrath. I wonder if we really understood, if we really understand that we deserve the wrath of God. Do we really understand what that means? How thankful we would be if we really understood what we've been saved from. Child of God, you have been saved from the wrath of God, though you deserved it. With everything in you testifies that you deserve it. Your life has declared witness that you deserve the wrath of God, the anger, His fury, His wrath, the cup of His indignation. If we really understood what it meant to be saved from God's wrath, there would not a single complaint, not a single murmuring come out of our mouths. I want to show you something out of God's Word. Listen to this startling declaration concerning the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. In Hebrews 5:7, it says this, "Who," speaking of Christ, "in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save Him from death and was heard, in that," it says, "He feared." Now, wait a minute. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the God-man. This is the one who is all God, but yet He was all man. This is Jesus Christ Himself, and God's Word declares to us that He feared. How is it possible? How is it possible that Jesus Christ feared? Well, we need to see what He feared. We need to know what He feared. What in the world did Jesus Christ, God Himself, God in the flesh, what did He fear? We actually have the account of it. In Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 and verse 42. It alludes to it there in that passage in Hebrews. But let's look at it. Luke 22 and verse 42. This is Christ. And He says here, "Father," He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Luke 22 and verse 42. "Father, if Thou be willing," what does it say? "Remove this cup from Me. Nevertheless, not My will, but Thine be done." And notice, "And there appeared an angel unto Him from heaven, strengthening Him. And being in an agony, He prayed more earnestly, and His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground." This cup that Christ spoke of here, this cup that caused the Lord of glory to be in such agony, to be in such fear, that He sweat blood this cup that angels actually had to come and minister into him, this cup is the same cup of Psalm 75. This cup is the same cup of Revelation 14. This is the cup that Christ feared. This is why he feared. This is what he agonized over. This is what he sweat blood over. And what is it? It is the wrath of God. This is what Christ feared. The wrath of God, the cup of his indignation, his anger, his fury. Listen, Christ was a perfect man, right? Yes, he was. Christ was the perfect display of man with the right mind, is what he is, what he was when he lived upon this earth. And if he feared God's wrath so much, they said, Father, if this cup, if it is possible, take this cup from me. That's how much he feared the wrath of God. If he feared being the perfect man, the perfect demonstration of man, if he feared God's wrath so much that he sweat blood over, that angels from heaven came down and ministered to him because he was in such agony, you've got to know the wrath of God is something. You've got to know it must be terrible. It must be horrible. It must be. But saints, let us be so, so thankful. Our cup is empty. Child of God, your cup is empty. There's not a drop in there, is there? There's not a drop in there. There's not a drop. How we ought to sing praises unto our great God that there's not a drop of His wrath left for us. Because Jesus Christ Himself drank the cup. It was not possible that cup passed from Him because He came to save sinners like us. And to do that, He had to drink the wrath that was owed us. And He drank it. And as Psalm 75 says, He drank the dregs with it. That's like for you who drink coffee, that's the grounds included. He drank it dry. There's nothing left. Nothing left to torment us, saints of God. Nothing left to afflict us. Nothing left that we should sweat drops of blood. No, Christ took it all unto Himself. And He drank that cup dry. And He left us not a drop. Not a drop. Because of the gospel, we should be, we ought to be, we better be thankful to our God. Not even a taste did He leave us. In 1 Thessalonians 5:9, God's Word declares this, for God hath not appointed us to wrath. Children of God, He has not appointed us to wrath, but what? But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that verse is really saying? He has not appointed us to wrath, but He has appointed us to salvation. Glory be. God would do that for sinners, unthankful sinners like us. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, it says, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He, God, raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Have you been delivered from the wrath that is due you? Have you been delivered from that wrath that will most certainly come? It is coming. It's right over the hill. Have you been delivered? Not without Christ, you haven't. You must know Christ. You must own Christ. He is the only way that you can be delivered. He has delivered us from the wrath to come. If you have not been delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, His wrath still abides upon you. Flee to Christ. There you will find that He will deliver you from the wrath to come. Flee to Christ. Cast yourself upon His mercy. There is your only hope. Without that, you will suffer the full force of God's wrath. Without mercy. Without mercy. Flee to Christ. Only in Him can we be delivered from the wrath to come. Saints of God, how thankful we should be that He has delivered us from our just deserves. Psalm 116:12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. What's that talking about? I'll tell you what it's talking about. You'll take the cup of salvation and you'll give praise and thanksgiving to his name. How thankful we should be. Jesus Christ has taken the cup of God's wrath from us. He's taken the cup of wrath from us, but he has given us this cup of salvation. Just this empty cup. If this is all it was, just this empty cup deserves the praise and the thankfulness from the saints of God throughout the endless ages. Just this empty cup. But you know what? This cup is the cup of salvation. Obviously, we're using it as an illustration. But it is also the cup that God has given us through Christ. It is also the cup of satisfaction. The cup of satisfaction. It would be more than enough if this cup was empty from the wrath of God. But we know, don't we, saints? We know because of the gospel that though this cup has none of God's wrath in it, it's not empty at all, is it? It's not empty at all, no. What did David say? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Then on down there, what does he say? My cup runneth over. We had a brother, when he prays, he says, my cup's running over, and I'm drinking from the saucer. That's right. That's right. Our cup runs over. This cup of salvation is the cup also. We're delivered from the wrath of God. It's emptied of the wrath of God by the Lord Jesus Christ. But he fills it to the overflowing. And it runs over. My cup runneth over. It is overflowing with Ephesians 1:3. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So it is overflowing. This cup of God's salvation, this cup of satisfaction, it is overflowing with acceptance with God. It is overflowing with access to God. It is overflowing with justification, with peace with God. Once there was only wrath, but now there's only peace. The wrath has been taken away, and because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. We have access before God. We have acceptance before God. We have righteousness. It overflows with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It overflows with His great redemption and all the blessings of His redemption. And what about sanctification? It overflows with the blessing of sanctification. Just this one thing. God does not leave us alone in this world. Our lives are overflowing with His presence. Did we not read that Wednesday night? He's everywhere around us, brothers and sisters. He's hedged our lives in and we cannot escape Him. It overflows. Just that. Just the blessings of sanctification. His Spirit is with us. And in abide, He abides with us. Our cup runneth over. What about the blessings, the promises, the glorification? You see, they run over. This cup is the cup of satisfaction. Listen, if we are unthankful, if you are unthankful this morning, if I am unthankful this morning, and listen, I'm here with you. I'm not preaching at you. I got plenty of fingers pointing back at me when I'm pointing at you. If we are unthankful, that means we're not satisfied. That's what unthankfulness is. It means we're not satisfied. We have no reason, child of God, to be unsatisfied. We have absolutely no reason to be unsatisfied. This cup is not filled with the wrath of God that we deserve. Do you understand? We have absolutely no reason to be unsatisfied because this cup has been emptied of God's wrath, but this cup is filled and overflowing with blessed and wonderful and fruitful and overabounding mercy and grace and goodness and blessing of God that none of us deserve. Not one of the blessings. We have no reason to be dissatisfied. if we truly know anything about real reality, if we are the saints of God, if we are the children of God, we know it has been declared to us and we have been told personally by the Spirit of God that we are in Christ. Saint of God, you are in Christ. God put you there. No one, not even you, can take you out. You are in Christ Jesus our Lord. And listen, He is the person, and that is the place of perfect satisfaction. You are in Christ. You are perfect in Christ. You are perfectly provided for in Christ. You are perfectly blessed in Christ. You have eternal life, unending life, life, not death. Not an unending life of death, but an unending life of life. You have it. It is yours. You have Jesus Christ Himself. You have the God of all glory as your Father. That is the perfect place. He is, Jesus Christ is the perfect person in the perfect place of absolute satisfaction. And you have Him. He's been given to you freely. By the God of heaven and earth, if indeed you are a child of God. You remember the verse in Isaiah 53 that says, He shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. You remember that. Now, that's quite a verse to ponder. When you study that verse, you learn that the Lord Jesus Christ, He was satisfied to be and satisfied with His offering for sin. He Himself was. He saw the travail of His own soul and was satisfied. But it also means that God the Father was satisfied with His Son's offering for sin. Brothers and sisters, who are we to be dissatisfied with the work of the Lord Jesus Christ? Who are we? That's what we are when we are unthankful. We are unsatisfied. Understand that we are unsatisfied with the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know we say, well, wait a minute, you don't know what I'm going through. But brothers and sisters, if you are in Christ, that, whatever that is, whatever it is, whether it's positive or negative, that is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not the work of His Spirit in your life? Yes, it absolutely is. We know that all things work together for good to them who are the called according to them who love God, who are the called according to His purpose. Everything God is using because you are a child of God, because you are in Christ, everything He uses for your profit. Everything. Well, I'm just saying, I don't like that. I'm not thankful for that. That hurts too bad to be thankful. That grieves me too bad to be thankful. Look at your Savior. Hear His promises. Even that painful thing, that dreadful thing, the thing that may wrench this body into the grave, it is a profit to you because you have been placed in Christ Jesus. Be thankful. Be thankful. In everything, the Scripture says, give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you. Child of God, the wrath of God and everything that rightly deserved it, everything that rightly deserved it has been taken away from us. And in its place, that which is lovely, that which is glorious, that which is wonderful, overflows from our cup of life. Overflows. Our great, omnipotent, and all-wise God even takes the negative, the painful, the hurting. He takes that and turns them into lovely, fruitful blessing. That's what He does. That is the work of the Spirit of Christ. And He works that work because Jesus Christ removed the wrath of God from you and gave you all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, God is for us. Who or what can be against us? Nothing. Nothing. No person, no circumstance is against us. Well, what if they come in this church? And what if they run up there and shoot you? I'm going to tell you,
I hate to leave y'all, but I'm going. I'm going. And just know, if that happens, it's far better where I'm at. It is. It's blessing. Everything is blessing. Everything.
And the reality is, it's only just begun. This is like that, and the reality of what it's really going to be. When we get on the other side, we're going to look back at this life, this long, treacherous life that we're living. Oh boy.
We're going to have an eye-opening experience when we see the reality of what our life has been. Or what our life has been is less than this compared to what we will experience. Less than that. It's only just begun.
So look at your cup of salvation this morning. Consider, look at this cup of satisfaction. Consider how it overflows moment by moment. How it overflows minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, eternity by eternity, with the blessings, the eternal blessings of God in Christ Jesus. Our cup, you know, David wasn't just saying, you think David didn't know something about hardships and didn't have a lot of things that he could have been unthankful for? And he was. He was a man like we are. Read the Psalms. I'm telling you, the man feared for his life most of his life. People were trying to kill him. Even his own son was on the hunt for him. He knew something. He knew something about devastation. He said, because the Lord is my shepherd, I know my cup overflows. It runneth over. Let us be satisfied in Christ. Let us be satisfied in Christ. He is all we need. And I know that may sound like a cliche, but I'm telling you, He is all that we need. What He provides for us as His people, everything, that is exactly what we need, and that's all we need. He is all that we need. If we want anything, let us want more of Him. Let us want more of Him. Our cup is empty of the wrath of God, but because of the gospel, we are thankful. And we know that our cup runneth over with blessings and benefits. Let us lift up our cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Let's do that.
Our Heavenly Father, we come before You knowing, Lord,
that there is sin upon us. Of ourselves, that we indeed are so much of the time unthankful. And being so, we know, we realize that really it is that we are in our flesh unsatisfied with You, unsatisfied with Your provision for us, unsatisfied with the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, unsatisfied, Lord, with what His Spirit would give us and allow to come to us. Father, deliver us from the terrible, unthinkable crime of being unthankful before You. Whether we're thankful or unthankful, help us to realize we are before You. And You know, Father, how we are reminded of how much You hate the murmuring of Your people, the complaining of Your people. It is shown in Your Word time and time again. How You hate this. And the reason is because when we're not thankful, we're not satisfied with You. Father, help us to realize that You are the God of all gods. You are our God. And if we are Your children, Father, You have satisfied our every need. Help us, give us grace to be thankful to You. Please, Lord, help us. For the sake of Christ, we pray. Thank You so much. For Your gospel, Lord, that it might have the place in our life that it deserves and that it should have. Help us, Lord, help us. In Jesus' name, amen. As we close this morning, Matt and Joy and Rita are going to come and sing a song for us. I want you to listen closely to the song because it is actually Psalm 103. Very wonderful song.